welcome back to Press Start with Logan and Jordan. My name is Jordan Wiegand, and I have my co-host, Logan Stump.
Hello.
I think my opening is different each time. we are focusing on Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and just kind of breaking that game down, and our thoughts on it and the story of it. So there's going to be story spoilers for Fallen Order if you haven't played. So, how are you, by the way?
I'm fantastic. I think, kind of shaking off that rust, get back into school, but, talking to my students about Rise of Skywalker has destroyed my soul. So
they don't like it.
Yeah, they don't like it. I think because honestly, and they said that it reminded them of the old movies, which I think is a good testament to how I feel.
Right,
like
right.
It was too much like the old ones.
It's never
a bad thing. That's a good thing. The old ones are the better ones. So that kind of gave me some spirit. But yeah, they really didn't like it. But I guess maybe the influence of the internet. And I think they're at that age where Star Wars is not cool. You know, Star Wars is seen kind of as a geek thing. But
yeah, everything is overshadowed by Marvel right now, I think.
Honestly, yeah, I think you're right. Because every time I mention Black Panther, they do the Wakanda Forever. Or if I mention anything about Thor, they're like, oh my gosh, have you seen Ragnarok? I'm like, yeah, I don't live under a rock. So.
Right. You like rhyming.
Yeah, exactly. You're just repeating words.
Yeah, I was actually at Christmas, and I guess we've recorded since then, but I was at a family function on my wife's side, and they asked what I thought of the movie, and I said, loved it. Loved it, seen it twice. And they said, it was awful. They hated it.
Really?
And I was like, really? I quite enjoyed it. And they said, well, maybe it wasn't awful, but they didn't like... I don't know what they didn't like about it, to be honest. I think they said it went too fast for them.
Really?
Yeah, like the pacing, which I've heard before, but I really like that it just goes and doesn't stop, you know?
Yeah.
For me, I mean, it makes it so rewatchable.
I'm looking at reviews, and Google users have 75% liked it, so, I mean, that's better than what I think Last Jedi stands at currently, but...
So there's two differences with the way that it works for, especially if you're looking at like Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
The reason why Rotten Tomatoes has now switched to a verified rating score is because a lot of people were review bombing Last Jedi. Captain Marvel got review bombed as well by people that hadn't even seen the movie.
Right.
So that's why they switched to this. I still think Last Jedi would have been a lower rating score audience-wise, but I don't think it's as low as it looks on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, because the audience score
from conversation Rise, I've seen. Yeah,
because audience score for Rise is
still
on
at
Rotten
86%.
Tomatoes. It's 86.
88,000 verified reviews.
Right.
If you switch to non-verified reviews, it's a 78%. But that's not bad, and that's an additional 100. That's an additional 80-some thousand reviews there. So the average rating is a 4.31 for verified viewers and a 3.99 for all audience. So ones that have not been verified. I rated this a 4 or 5 out of stars.
Okay.
4 out of 5 or 5 out of 5. I don't know what I stuff. So we're about to get started on Fallen Order, and we're going to also talk about, you know, some cool nods to other parts of the, you know, like little references and stuff to this stuff. But this game takes place between Revenge of the Sith and before A New Hope and Rogue One and Rebels. It takes place all before that. It's 5 years after Order 66. We follow the character of Cal Kestis, played by Cameron Monaghan. You might know him from TV shows like Shameless or Gotham. And he is on the planet Bracca, where he works as a scrapper, salvaging ships from the Clone Wars. He saves, you know, uses the Force to save his friend Prof from falling to his death. And an Imperial probe droid was recording this and passes on the information to the Empire. So the Empire sends two Inquisitors, known as the Second Sister and the Ninth Sister, to pursue Cal. After they kill Prowth, Cal makes his escape and briefly fights the second sister before being rescued by former Jedi Knight Seer Junda and her partner pilot Grease Dritus and their ship, the Stinger Mantis. So, Braca. What's your thoughts on Braca in the opening of this, the opening of the game here?
So, there's a couple things that came to mind when I was thinking about it. I mean, first of all, it kind of gives you that feeling of like, it's just everything's falling to pieces because they're picking up scrap. And right. I do feel like it's perfect for that fall of, of the Sith and kind of that up of the, you know, the Empire being what it's going to become. And just everything's falling apart for the Jedi. It kind of makes you feel like he's the only one too. Like, I don't know, like the, just kind of like the way it plays out. You feel like he really is just out there by himself now. Kind of like you do when you meet Luke and Kenobi, it's kind of like that feeling of, man, like this stuff's really not good right now. And you just get that feeling right away when he's climbing through the different parts and pieces and climbing up through the different areas. The one thing that I did like, though, like I just like everything. You know how in the game there's a lot of those parts where you're just kind of like things are falling or thing, and you're just kind of seeing visually fall and stuff. That just like blows my mind at how well detailed they are, and like the star or like the destroyers going over and different aspects of like the big ships coming over and this kid just basically trying to avoid any recognition from anybody. I like the first one because it just kind of gives you a good opening, and plus I really like the prof. I like that character and what kind of what happens towards the end of that world or that part of the planet.
Right. Yeah, and I feel like it's a good opening to the game here, but it really doesn't feel like it starts kicking off until we meet Seer and Grease.
Right.
Grease is one of my favorite characters in the game.
Did you feel like when you were on the train, I felt like I was playing Red Dead. I don't know why. I was like, because I guess when you climb on top and then you jump down and then you climb back on top and you jump down.
On which one? When you're going through the debris?
Like the debris, yeah. Like when you're jumping down, the stormtroopers are there with you and you're on that ship.
Oh, I felt like a lot like this game really reminds me of the Uncharted series. Which, also, by the way, that is for free if you're PlayStation Plus. That just so you might want to, if you haven't downloaded it, download those for free. It's the first three games. Very, very familiar feeling, like especially when we get to the next few planets, like Zepho, and you're exploring tombs and like the temples or whatever. It really feels like Uncharted in those. Same thing with this kind of bit when I kind of got like a prologue that kind of introduces you to the way to play the game.
Yeah.
But what I also liked about this game is that every so often you'd get more force powers that would, you know, flash back to the his training as a youngling. Mm-hmm.
Which were really well written.
Yeah, yeah. And what you would do is then you would, like, you know, we kind of see him force pull his lightsaber to himself.
Mm-hmm.
On one of these first, really, I think that's kind of early on. Then he uses that, he remembers that in order to pull it to him again.
Right.
In these situations. So we jump on the Mantis. I really like the ship. I think it's a good design.
It's cool.
Good name.
I really like it.
I like that they let us customize it.
Use
some different colors. But then Seer takes Cal to the planet Bogano. And this is kind of where the story kind of kicks off. And I think my favorite character of the game gets introduced at this point. But it's a small droid named BD-1.
Yeah.
And BD-1 shows him a message of a former Jedi Master named Eno or Enno Cordova. And it's a vault was built by the ancient civilization called the Zepho. And a Jedi holocron containing a list of Force-sensitive children has been hidden inside by Cordova. Seer believes the list could be, you know, could help them rebuild the Jedi Order, but the only way to access the vault is to follow Cordova's path. Cal heads to the Zepho homeworld and explores an ancient temple, and there he finds a clue pointing to Cordova's friend, the Wookiee chieftain, Tarful, on the planet of Kashyyyk. Tarful is, you know, one of Yoda's friends in the Revenge of the Sith. He's the one that, you know, he says goodbye to Tarful, and he says goodbye to Chewbacca when he's getting in. So this is another good tie-in to the series. But also, Zepho sucks. This is my least favorite planet of the game. It really sucks. They have the worst creatures. They have the rats.
Yeah.
They have these big blue guys. They got the the ram type things.
Those things made me so mad. I was like, oh, finally I can attack it. But then it attacked me again. I was like, why does it keep attacking me?
And on top of that, they have stormtroopers. So you're fighting everything on that planet. Yes. That just, and you have to go there twice. That planet,
and trying to find out where to go to is annoying. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was kind of a mess of a planet.
Yeah.
But good thing is we don't ever have to go back to Zepho again after we're done playing this game. So the ancient temple parts are cool, I think. That's fine. It's the above world with, like I said, the rats and the rams and stuff that really kind of get on my nerves. But we go to Kashyyyk after that. And this is where it was your favorite planet, correct?
I love Kashyyyk.
Kashyyyk is awesome. He hijacks an Imperial AT-AT or AT-AT, depending on what generation you're in, and heads towards the forest on the way. And on the way, he encounters the notorious insurgent Saw Gerrera from Rebels, Rogue One, Clone Wars, you know, whatever you really want to know him from. Cal teams up with the Rebels to defeat the Imperial forces and free their Wookiee slaves. They can't find Tarful, so he returns to Zepho to find more clues. And that is when he is then ambushed by the Second Sister, who reveals herself to be Seer's former Padawan, Trilla Siduri. She was captured by the Empire after Seer revealed her whereabouts under torture. And before he departs, Trilla warns Cal of Seer's inevitable betrayal. I think this is my least favorite part of the game. Not the fighter Trilla or anything, but the fact that I feel like this happens in every Star Wars property when somebody turns to the dark side, they always blame the light side person, and then they say, they'll do the same thing to you too.
Yeah.
And Seer never does. So no. I feel like, and you know what? I'm very happy Cal doesn't buy into it all that much. I was about to get really upset if they made this a huge thing, but they kind of just walk around it in the story. They don't focus too much time on it because he's always out discovering new stuff. So you don't get too much of a, you know, of it. I don't know. I just think that's my least favorite part of probably all of Star Wars, because I feel like it is the, it's the one part of the dark side I don't get.
That in the they'll sense try of, it on you.
That what?
That they try it on you.
Yeah, no. I mean, what I don't get about it is just the fact that, okay, so to recap, she's taking care of these younglings because Seer has to lead the bad guys away.
Right.
Right? And, you know, obviously under torture, anybody will kind of break. A lot of people will break. You know, because they're torturing you. Mm-hmm. You're going to break sometimes. And it's like, I don't get it. So I guess they then try to, they try to say to Trilla, like, hey, your master betrayed you. Join us. You just saw the Empire kill 10,000 Jedi, and you're like, oh yeah, the one Jedi that gave me up because she was being tortured is the bad guy, and I'm gonna join the bad guys now. It makes no sense to me in that sense. And it's the same thing with Anakin when he's like, you know, he knows that Palpatine is a Sith Lord, and then as soon as Mace Windu is like, look, he reasonably cannot stand trial because he is the Senate, I'm going to kill him, and Anakin's like, no, chops off his arm and then immediately is like, I bow to you, my master. Like, what?
Yeah.
I feel like Trilla's path is the same thing, because she knows she was hiding from the Empire. They'd killed all these Jedi. How on earth is the person that was trying to protect you but only broke because she was being tortured by the bad guys now the bad guy? You know, that's one part that doesn't really track for me. It sounds like the Ninth Sister is also a former Jedi, which, again, doesn't track for me. I feel like for these people to easily switch sides like this, there had to be something deeper wrong with them before it happened. Like, they must have flirted with it beforehand. And, you know, they talk about how Seer kind of flirts with the dark side occasionally. And, you know, Cal kind of talks her out of skipping ahead. You know, like, she was trying to kill Darth Vader, but couldn't because she's not strong enough. But she was trying to. And he's trying to tell her, like, no. I'm like, killing one bad guy is not enough to take you to the dark side. If it was Darth Maul, Obi-Wan, parentheses or quotes, air quotes, killing Darth Maul would have... would have turned them to the dark side, you know? So obviously you can defeat a Sith Lord without turning to the dark side, because you got to think of it in the rationale of the, and this is why the Jedi Order shouldn't be restored, by the way. They think of everything as like, you know, like, they don't think of it as like we would, in the sense of, well, that guy killed millions of people or trillions of people. We're going to... Darth Vader blew up a planet. You know, like, I mean, it's okay to kill him.
And Kylo blew up, like, 30 of them.
Right.
So, like...
Right, yeah.
he just destroys the whole world. So, the whole and Star Wars galaxy. People want him to live
happily ever after.
Yeah.
He'd be prosecuted for war crimes. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but he shrugged his shoulders, so honestly...
He's fine. I'd like to take a gif of that where it's like, you know, Ben, you killed all these people, and it's just him shrugging. Like,
yeah, like,
oh, well.
Like Anakin killing him and telling him the story. Yeah. This is the story of how I became Darth Vader, and then Kylo going, oh, yeah, well, I killed all these people, and it's his shrug, like, not impressed.
Right. So, yeah, she warns of her betrayal, which never happens. Cal learns that he needs to find a Zepho artifact called the Astrium to unlock the vault. He gets captured by a bounty hunter and forced to fight in an arena owned by Sork Tormo, who is the worst character in the game.
Worst part of the game. Hate this part of the game.
He's just the worst character, too. He's like almost like trying to be like... I feel like it tries to be like Ragnarok here with Jeff Goldblum's character.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like he's as like animated as that.
Yeah.
Like, very over the top. But it doesn't work in Star Wars, I don't think.
No.
Because we don't even know who Sork Tormo is. And he says, well, I'm Sork Tormo. Like, we're supposed to know who he is. and then Cal's rescued. It's kind of like the middle part of the game here. And now they go meet Tarful, and you have to go through all this bullcrap in Kashyyyk to get there. which I really didn't like the second visit to Kashyyyk, because I feel like there was just a lot. The spiders are awful.
Yeah.
This is kind of where I was like, I just want to beat the game. I'm not really digging Kashyyyk there. He's attacked by the Ninth Sister. And you have to face the Ninth Sister, you kill her, bam, done. And then you have to go to Dathomir, which is the home planet of Darth Maul and the Night Sisters, and you get stopped by Night Sister Maren, who blames the Jedi for the massacre of her people during the Clone Wars, and she brings up all her old dead people and have them fight you. And you get to flashbacks of, you know, your former master, Jaro, to Paul, during Order 66. This part was really cool, because I'd accidentally read, here I am again, accidentally got spoiled that Order 66 flashback was here. this point. And I'm kind of glad I was spoiled on it, because I kind of enjoyed and spoke with every clone trooper I could, because I was like, as soon as I saw the clone troopers and you're about to go to training, I was like, okay, here it is. This is it. This is Order 66, and they're about to turn on you, type of thing. And it was just cool how he kind of had like this rapport with some of these clones, and you know, then you get into the room and you have to do all these, you know, this is where you learn to double jump, I think. And then you get up to your master, and that's when the clones turn on you, and you have to try, you know, getting out. There's good parallels here with later when they go to the place of the Inquisitors, because there's a part in this scene where Cal gets to a window where he can see his master kind of like just owning all these clones. And he has to get through this other door. And there's a part when you get to the Inquisitor place, the same thing happens. You get to this big window and you see Seer fighting off all these like stormtroopers. And then you have to get to the door. So it's kind of like some cool parallels of this time it went right. You know, type of thing. Like kind of like rhyming and poetry rhyming, as the George Lucas meme is. So on Dathomir, there's hints that this stranded stranger is somebody special, I guess, because you can force echo some stuff and hear about his plane crashing or his ship crashing. And you talk to him and it just says like stranger or something, right? But he is a former Jedi as well, Taren Malakos. And he's, I guess, somehow got the power of the Night Sisters or whatever. But at this time, he's warning you, and he helps get you out of Dathomir before, so you can go to Elum and get your lightsaber fixed. So you go to Elum, which this game kind of confirms as being Starkiller Base, which is really cool. There's the big trench in it, which is the Empire, from the Empire mining for the Kyber crystals. So then you go rebuild your lightsaber. This is the best part of the game for me. I really like that there's no there's like no enemies at this point. This is the best part.
You just wander around and look at all the stuff.
Yeah, and then you get to choose your lightsaber color and rebuild your lightsaber. Then you go back to Dathomir, get the Astrium, but you have to face Taren Malakos, and Night Sister Marin joins your side, which is cool. And she joins the crew, which I really liked Marin. She was really cool. So then they return to Bogano, where they use the Astrium to unlock the vault. Trilla comes and steals the holocron, and then they have to go to the place, the planet Nur, which is where, what is that place called? Fortress Inquisitoris, to get it back. And that's where, you know, you and Seer go and face Darth Vader. And Darth Vader kills Trilla for her failure. And you can't defeat Darth Vader, but you barely escape. And then Cal destroys the holocron, because I think part of this is where he comes from. During that part on Bogano, when he gets the holocron, he sees the future almost, I feel like, where they're like Master Kestis and blah, blah, blah. And the Empire still finds them and kills
them
all.
That's a great
scene. He becomes an Inquisitor, right?
That's a great scene. Like, just the way that it's like the visuals, and like when you're walking and it's like you look to your left and it's like they show up and it's all seeing the future pop up. I was like, that's such a cool scene to show the you know, what's going to happen to them and how it kind of builds into the story that we all know.
Right. So. And then he decides to destroy it because I think because of that reason, he knows that if he brings the order together, they will still be found by the Inquisitors and Darth Vader. And he decides, not going to do it. And he says, like, let's trust in the Force that these kids will be okay if, you know, on their own. and find the way there themselves, which I thought was good. But it kind of feels like you just did everything for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, dude.
But the good thing is, it's not in the hands of the Empire. So.
Right. And you know what it felt like, honestly? It kind of felt like when they go to take Thanos' Infinity Gauntlet and there's no stones there anymore. And you're like,
yeah, yeah. You're like, what was
where'd they go?
It does kind of feel like that. So that's the story of it. And we're going to kind of get into some gameplay stuff here. But I played on the second lowest difficulty. And once I got to the ninth sister, I lowered it to easy and just blew through it the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not wasting any more time on this game. I'm just going to get it done with. I'm enjoying the story, but there was some frustration with some of the difficulty that I just wanted to run through the rest of the game.
Yeah, I would say unless you play video games all the time, like, I'm not kidding. I there were at least three or four times, and that stupid put me in there with Jeff Goldblum's character kind of guy. I played that for, I'm not kidding, 2 hours and did not beat it on that level.
I gave it two tries before I lowered that to easy.
I was so mad. You do not help.
I'm not doing this all night. I'm going to lower it to easy and just get it done.
Yeah. No. You have no idea how mad. I almost got to the point where I almost threw my controller. I was getting so mad. Because then those little things, like those little worm white things.
Oh, those are bad too, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Those are brutal. And then that big troll thing came out and knocked me out. And I was like, oh,
troll in the dungeon.
Troll. And that's what it reminded me of when he would like kick. Think of. I was like, oh no. So, but let's get into some of the, what was your favorite moment from Fallen Order?
Oh, my favorite part that I really felt like I was enjoying the game the most is any of the times where there's a lot of platforming and solving puzzles. So the temples on Zepho, even if I don't like Zepho, having to figure out how to, move the balls around to get them in the right spot so that way it can unlock something. Or I really liked having to figure out the crystal puzzle in Elam, having to figure that out. Those were really cool parts because I liked when I wasn't fighting people all the time.
Right.
There were some times on, like, I think my first visit to Zepho where I felt like I was just being bombarded by stormtroopers and creatures. The same thing with my second trip to Kashyyyk where it was purge troopers and all this crap that I was just like, I want to just get done this part. And I complained about this last time on the show, but there is a part where there's magnets on Kashyyyk, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe not Kashyyyk. It's on some planet.
No, you're right.
You have to jump on the vine before the thing. After you press the magnet button, you have to jump on the vine and get over to this other spot. And it just wouldn't register that I was moving fast enough, even though I'm sprinting. So I would not be able to jump fast enough to hang on. And I died while doing it and had to go back. Because the way that the game,
you
for
go
people
back
that
far.
Are just listening to this, the way the gameplay works is if you fall off a cliff, you're okay. It just drops a little bit of health. But if you go all the way through that and all the way through your stims, you are done. Like, you have to respawn and it takes you back to the last med spot. So at that point, I had just beaten a purge trooper and a few other people, and there was nowhere to heal. So I only had a stim left, and I had half a health left. So I tried jump, and as I got lower, I was like, I have to use the stim. And then I kept doing it, and I had to die and get put back there and re-go through the purge trooper and re-go through all this stuff. And then it still took me a stim pack to actually get onto the thing. Like, I still went through a thing of health before it finally registered that I jumped and that I would hang on. And it was so frustrating because I'm watching videos on how to do it and they're doing the same thing I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
I can just imagine your frustration because I love when, because those that don't know, I grew up with Jordan back in 2013 and there were moments when he'd get mad at his FIFA players. And Jordan's frustration when he plays video games might be the funniest thing, because you're pretty laid back. Like, you're a pretty laid back person, but when you get mad, it's hilarious to watch, because it's like you get mad, like you don't expect it, and it comes out of nowhere, and you get angry at your video game. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, well, and what's frustrating about this part of it was is that no matter the difficulty I would have it on, it's the same thing, right? Like,
right.
Like, I don't know if there's something wrong with my game or it was the input of the controller not registering fast enough, but it was so frustrating because, like, let's say even when I got, like, the arena part, if I'm stuck on that, mm-hmm. I could lower it to lower difficulty right. and just breeze through it. This was a physical issue where it wouldn't let me. I'd press the button and then it would move before I could even run up there and jump it. And I had another issue like this on Dathomir that I had to look up because I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know you could. So I was force pushing the thing and I would like this part that would swing, vines that would swing, climb up. And I didn't know that when you do that, it then comes back at you. So I would force push it and I would try to run to it. And you have to, like, climb on it, and then halfway up, you get onto another piece of, like, rock or whatever.
Yeah.
I had to look it up. I didn't know you could use the slowdown button after you force push something to keep it in place longer. I was only thinking that was for enemies. I didn't think anything about that. And I was like, what am I doing wrong here? But I just was able to look it up and see it wasn't
an issue. Did you use the force, like, to slow everything down when you were chasing the rock?
What rock? The rock to go across the magnet thing? No, that's not what the video was doing. I guess I could have.
If you watch the right video, it tells you to do that.
For the magnet thing?
Yeah, you can slow it down.
Oh, geez. No, this is what I was watching is, what I watch is the person pushes it, right? And then just sprinted, immediately jumped and hung on before it moved. And I was like, how am I not doing that?
Oh, okay. So that makes sense now. I was like, how is that so hard? I was like, okay. So yeah, you can slow it down. Like, you run towards it and you slow it down and then you just can walk to it.
Oh, see, but the video I watched wasn't doing that. So
there's a bunch of videos out there that think that they know what they're doing. But
I was led to believe. Funny. And I was watching the IGN one for the
walkthrough. Oh, that would have pissed me off.
And anytime I was watching the IGN one, they would be like, they had to be playing on easy because there was parts where I was playing through and I was like, it's not this easy of a game. Like, they would go in and the stormtroopers would hold up their guns to them and just stand there. And they would walk all the way up to them, and then they'd fire one shot, and he would just slice them up. And I'm like, all right, dude, I just did that part, and they attacked the crap out of me.
God.
Oh, you're lying. You're on.
Need you to, like, you need to videotape you playing. Like, put you, you know, on.
When I get my, when I get this spare bedroom cleaned up and start streaming in it, you'll see the frustration firsthand.
I need the director cuts. Like, Jordan, I need you to release the director cuts so I know exactly what you went through.
Release.
Your audience needs to know.
Yeah.
Because I love watching those video game guys, and I'm like, I wonder, and I always try to look for it, like, in these kind of games. Did they die? Like, did they die?
Oh, you can see that easily sometimes. There'll be, like, a screen wipe where you're like, okay, they just skipped that part for whatever reason. So that was – I had some frustration with that stuff.
I think the frustration, too, is – sorry to cut you off. Like, the meditation circles, how far some of them are away from each other kind of made me
mad. And if you go back to one, it resets all the enemies. So there's no point in going back to one because you then have to go through all of it again.
Yeah. Yeah, and I only did it a couple times because I was like, okay, I can get through those guys again. But then, because I didn't know what I was getting ready for. But like what you said, like it almost feels like a glitch. It almost feels, I don't know, it feels weird when it happens because you're like, wait, I just beat them. And then there were sometimes, I'm not kidding, there were sometimes I know that I went back and did it, and then I'd walk through and there would be nobody, and I was like, wait, what? Like, that should have put them back.
They didn't do it. for purpose, on purpose. There were some parts where I would, like you said, I would reheal, but it wouldn't respawn them because they had known I had just beaten those people. I don't know what it was. Or it was like a story part coming up that they wanted me to do, I guess.
Yeah. Do you remember the part in Kashyyyk when you're, okay, like you're going back towards your ship and you, you have to go back through and there's like, you know, like the kind of like the tree hut things that Yoda's seen in with, Tarkin or, and like, you remember that and you zip line or you like, maybe, no, it's a vine and then there's a spider and then there's like a stormtrooper up above and then like on this little green plank.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
one of those purred, it's like, I had to go back through that so many times. I was getting so mad. So like, they're always here and that big giant spider thing kills me all the time because it follows me.
Right.
I hated it. But that was just going back to the meditation points that we're complaining about.
Yeah. So at the end of this game, Cal asks where they should head next. Mm-hmm. Implying a sequel or opportunity for a sequel.
Right.
But I guess let's talk about some of the connections here. We mentioned some of them, but the Inquisitors are mostly known from Star Wars Rebels. That's where they were introduced. There was the Inquisitor. He was like the head Inquisitor. Mm. And he had a double-bladed lightsaber, kind of like the Second Sister does. Well, they all kind of do have that, but it was the first time that one was seen because it also spins. It spins if you watch it in like a, if you watch a video of it, you can see, the first Inquisitor or the head Inquisitor, having a spinning lightsaber. And also these are the lightsabers that Darth Maul has in Solo.
Mm-hmm.
He has an Inquisitor lightsaber in Solo. Let's see. And they are called like Second Sister, Ninth Sister. There was I think Seventh Sister was the one from Rebels, played by Sarah Michelle Gellar. Let's see. Let me just verify that one time here. Do they not have it written here? Yeah, Sarah Michelle Gellar, I think. Definitely played somebody... A sister. I think it was Seventh Sister. Mm-hmm. I think I remember the alliteration there. But... Let's
see. So I guess, obviously, I guess on that holocron would be Luke's name?
I don't know.
Maybe that's what we figure out in a sequel? Like, maybe... There's another one out there.
The reason I don't know is since Luke wasn't born at that time, I guess.
Yeah.
It was his Seventh Sister. I don't really know. I think the holocron is the weakest part of the story because I don't know really. It's not clear, I don't think, on when because Cordova did this a few years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Before the purge or after the purge? I don't know if that's clear. Because I think Cordova's gone now, right? I don't think he's alive. So,
well, I don't know. Do we ever really? I mean, he says goodbye to BD-1, which is probably the best part of the whole freaking game.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
that whole sequence that basically finds somebody that you can trust, just like you've trusted me, my friend. And he says it like goodbye, my friend, and he turns the droid off. And then BD-1 kind of looks at him like, "Don't give up. I need you."
We have, let's see, some other references to other movies and stuff. Like we said, Saul Guerrera, Tarful, the Night Sisters, those are mm-hmm. from, the Clone Wars. They have a big plot in the Clone Wars.
Is Saul Guerrera really voiced by Forrest Whitaker?
It's said in the credits.
Is he really?
Not in the Clone Wars, but in in Clone Wars, he's young. He is like very young.
Oh, that makes sense then. Yeah, I guess it would make sense. I knew he was Forrest Whitaker just by the way that that's crazy how it is crazy how much they pick up on that. Because every time I play Detroit Become Human, that kid that plays mm-hmm. that Jesse William Tyler, whatever his name is, looks just like him. It's amazing how well they can pick up facial.
That's what my wife plays. My wife watches Shameless, and Cameron Monahan is from that. And I was like, look, it's your dude from the show. She's like, oh, that's cool. And then she saw his face, and she was like, oh, wow, they got his whole face in there. I was like, yeah, it's not just the voice. Like, it's,
Jordan turned off the game and never played it again.
We're done here. I guess another one of my least favorite parts is Taryn Malakos. How many Jedi turn to the dark side? It's kind of crazy how that always happens.
It's kind of like, we're going to do this again.
I was like, ooh, you crash landed on Dathomir. Get over it.
You know what, though? The part that freaked me out, because I wasn't quite ready for it and I'd forgotten where I was. I thought the person that I was like, you know when you adjust that thing and that big like dragon thing attacks you, or bird thing, and you like move it and it's got like, it looks like Darth Maul, like the dead person in that little, I don't know what that thing is, in Dathomir, but like you move it, if you look back, he's got like the horns, like the.
Oh yeah, he's a Zabrak, yeah.
I was like, at first, at quick glance, I was like, wait, what? I thought they were going to throw some Darth Maul on me. I was like, whoa. But then I was like, wait, he would be dead technically. Maybe.
Yeah. He's still alive. Well,
right, he's still alive. Yeah.
Well, so Zabraks are from Iridonia and also from Dathomir. But Darth Maul is from Dathomir.
So are we going to get like a... Do you think we're really going to get a Maul series?
No, I don't think we're going to get a whole Maul series. I think if they did, it would be a continuation of, the Black Sun Solo storyline, which would, of course, enter in Maul. But I don't know if Maul can carry it by himself, because what people don't know is Ray Park is Maul.
Yeah.
Ray Park voiced Maul in Phantom Menace, but every appearance since then has been voiced by Sam Witwer. Even in Solo, it's dubbed to be Sam Witwer. So I think it'd be kind of like almost double expensive to have Darth Maul as the main character and have somebody playing him twice. You know, somebody voicing him, somebody playing. I think that might be a little too expensive at that point. Sam Witwer is really great as Maul. He voices Maul in Clone Wars and Rebels, and he gives out some...
That whole really duel, though, like that, I forget what the music score is called. It's something duel. Like that
duel
whole
fate?
Sound. Yeah, there it is. Duel Fates. That might be one of my favorite up against. I really like Binary Suns, but like that's probably the next favorite.
Yeah, Duel Fates I have on my iPod.
They played that. No, they played the, what was the one from... There you go.
Now, not to get sued, I'll just turn that off right now.
Don't you? I saw my lawyer. Don't you get like a little bit of Revenge of the Sith soundtrack in Fallen Order? Or did I?
Yes, you do. During the Order 66 flashback, you get the Order 66 song. I'm not sure what it's called. Yep. It might be Order 66. But it's the same music that like Yoda is like clutching his chest when he feels everybody dying.
Right.
It's that song. So let me just see what the actual name of it is. I think it's just called Order 66.
Order 66. I watched the video of him coming out the other day and it gave me all new meaning. When I watched Star Wars Celebration from 2019 and he came out to say like, roll it again.
Oh, yeah.
And Palpatine's voice.
I don't know. This one doesn't look like it has the name of the song on here. Hold on. What is this? Yeah, it's this one, I think. Yeah, this one's it's called Anakin's Betrayal.
Yeah, and then he goes and kills, 86 kids. It's fine.
Yeah, this is the song. Yeah, this is where, like, you know, you see Ki-Adi-Mundi getting shot down on Magito, which is referenced in this game as well. So Magito is the snowy type planet that, you know, you see Ki-Adi-Mundi. He's got this big, almost like cone head.
Yeah.
White beard and everything. He gets shot down in that planet while he's waving.
When he's on the bridge, right?
Yep. Yeah, and that's where Cal and his master were supposed to be going before all that stuff happened.
I've got goosebumps right now thinking about that whole scene. Like, that scene is unbelievable. Like, when the girl, who is the girl that's walking through, like the flowery?
Yes, that's Ayla Secura. Yeah. And you can see, you can hear her voice in
Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, Rise of Skywalker. Yep.
That's all that scene. Every time I'm like, that's such beautiful storytelling. That's why, like, I love Revenge of the Sith. And I'm like, that's such a really good scene. Like, that whole betrayal and the fall of the, you just feel it when Yoda drops that stick, like his walking cane. And it just, like, oh my God, like, here's the end.
Yep. And then you, like, see Stas Ali, I think, Stas Ali is killed. She's the one that's on, like, the speeder bike when the two troopers go behind her and kill her. My favorite Jedi, Kit Fisto, gets absolutely shafted in Revenge of the Sith because he enters in with the crew. You know, he's in there with Eeth Koth and I think it was Eeth Koth or Agent Kohler. Mm-hmm. But it's one of, you know, he's got, like, the horns on his head and long hair. There's two of them. There's Eeth Koth and there's Agent Kohler. I think it's Eeth Koth. And it's good. But you have Kit Fisto, Eeth Koth, Plo Koon, Plo Koon gets shot down. Sacy Tin and Mace Windu. And the four of them come strolling in and they're like, Chancellor, you are under arrest. And it's like, badass, right?
For treason, yeah.
And then he's like, it's treason then. And he just whips out his lightsaber and kills three of them in one shot.
And it's so, embarrassing to watch. It's, like, the slowest, it really is. He's
80 years old, like... and even, like, stops and, like, hisses at the camera, like...
Oh, yeah.
And, like... Kit Fisto's the one with the green... For people that don't know, he's got, like, the green, you know... The green, what is that called? Tendrils, I guess? On his head, and he's got the big black eyes. He's also very famous for Attack of the Clones when C-3PO's head is on a battle droid. Yeah. He's the one that pushes him and looks pleased with himself that he did. I met him at Disney World during Star Wars weekend. Picture. Fisto, because he was one of my favorites, and I went to Walgreens and got the exclusive Funko Pop of Kit Fisto. I don't know why he's one of my favorites, but he is.
I do like him, like, in the parts that he's in.
Yeah,
he's definitely the most memorable as far as that scene, except Mace Windu, obviously. But he's the one that I visualize.
In Revenge of the Sith book, he gets a little bit more time, but it's also like when Anakin's coming in to help in the book, Kit Fisto's head is just lying on Palpatine's desk. The most gruesome thing ever. And I was like, oh no, they just done my boy wrong. What is going on? And I was waiting for that to happen in the movie. And it's just, he gets absolutely shafted.
Just massacred. Like, just massacred. Brutal. Poor guy.
Yeah, so there's some history for you there. He's been one of my favorites. I had a toy of him as a kid. I had a toy of all of these. Sacy Tin is the one with, like, the two horns. His toy came with a purple lightsaber, so I think at one point. But he's blue. He's got a blue lightsaber.
Yeah, he stole maces.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not gonna need that anymore. You're fried.
What else do we have here? We had, Agent Kohler, Eeth Koth. I kind of know which one it was now.
Is Obi-Wan mentioned at all?
Obi-Wan is the what's he called? He is the in the holocron.
Yeah.
He is the holocron that they say that, you know, the clones have turned against us. He gets that message from, I think, Seer.
Yeah.
Right? Gives him that holocron. Eeth Koth. No, it must have been Agent Kolar then, because Eeth Koth died before that, I think.
Right. I still do, like, when I think back, the whole Order 66 is just, like, it's always one that I'll always remember as far as that, every movie. It's just how, like, that's, like, it's so dark. It's so evil.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, they're getting rid of the whole species.
That was the first PG-13, I think, Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Sith, I think.
Mr. Skywalker.
Whoa, we did two!
What are we to do?
There's too many of them!
And he's looking up at him like... And Anakin's like, just like dark as heck.
What kills me is his step backwards when he ignites the lightsaber. I'm like,
yeah, he's like,
oh, poor boy.
Like, he's coming to help.
What else we got here? That's most of the references, I think. We do see Darth Vader, like I said. We get Elum. Which is where all the Jedi go as kids to build their lightsaber. I just watched a Clone Wars episode on this in season 5. So this is a thing. As Cal says, Master Yoda would lower would get it to melt the doorway. And what they had to do is they had to get their crystal and make it back before it covers back up.
Right.
Because I think they said a rotation on Elum is 19 hours. No, 19 days. So I think once the sun goes down, it takes 19 days for it to get melted again. So that they're pretty much saying, like, you're going to die if you don't
get it. Yeah, you're going to freeze to death.
So if you want more episodes on that, that's in the Clone Wars Season 5. And, man, it was really cool. Really cool. Especially now knowing this is Starkiller Base. This is... not confirmed in the game, but apparently there's data files in the game that people have found, and that's that picture I sent you there. Mm-hmm. You clearly see the trench. But you also run into the Empire, who is, you know, digging into it. So, and for further clarification, in maps on the Force Awakens Visual Dictionary, it's in the same sector as Starkiller Base, in the same position Starkiller Base is in. So it was pretty much almost confirmed. A lot of people had guessed this, but this is the actual kind of confirmation of it.
That's amazing too. It's like just imagine writing these stories and thinking of, like, wouldn't this be a cool spot to drop in Starkiller? It'd be like, oh, just the powers that you have to be able to just drop these subtle but yet effective hints, just like. It's unbelievable. And I really like the relationship between. I actually do like the part where Cal's struggling to forgive himself for his master's death.
Yeah.
And, like, he turns almost dark, but, like, he can't actually, like, do anything. I really love that whole sequence. Like, the reason why you can see him in the dark, why you see him in the dark is because you won't let him come into the light. Like, what you did in the light.
Right.
It was like, that's amazing. Like, just how well placed that was and why he could see his old master.
Right. And I think it's a good story. It's a really good story. And what we talked about offline is, you know, they have Darth Vader in it, but he's defeated in a way that doesn't make him look like a chump.
Yeah.
Is pretty much what I like. They let them get away almost.
Yeah.
You know, like, he breaks the glass, and that brings the water in, and it gives them their brief window to escape. Otherwise, Darth Vader would have destroyed them.
It reminds me of when Luke and them get away in
Empire.
New Hope.
New Hope. Really broke, but...
Because when he gets away, he's walking out towards them, and they're gone. And it's like, just kind of like that little break that is realistic enough, although... If he's Rey, he would have stopped the ship with his force.
Yeah.
He was just like, nah, he ain't going anywhere. But, yeah, there's times where Vader's just walking out as they're leaving, or Luke and Leia are no longer in sight. Which is obviously fantastic storytelling. Which makes me so excited to see what they'll do with a sequel. If they're going to do the sequel.
Well, this makes me excited for that rumor that, you know, we were talking about all the connections in this one. But imagine if there is a game, like it's rumored to be, that is kind of being developed along with these other people about this new Republic, the High Republic era, that we might get a lot more of this type of stuff where it's really connected into the High Republic. Yeah. We might get a lot more of these kind of connections here. One connection as well here is the Obi-Wan holocron that we didn't really talk about that much. Not only is that from, it is from Rebels. Ezra gets a holocron that has the message of Obi-Wan on it as well. It's in the book A New Dawn, which features Kanan from Rebels, but is referenced in Revenge of the Sith when Obi-Wan says he's going to change the message. Yeah. So this is where we kind of see what message he actually sent. Right. Something like this. So
I mean, it's probably got something to do with the fact that he's their only hope. Hey, help. We're in a lot of trouble here. Which is going to be really awesome, I think, just to watch Kenobi and be like, because this is right after, isn't it? Like right after Order 66.
Yeah, well, this the holocron's right after it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes place in Revenge of the Sith when he finds out Anakin's the one that killed him. Yeah. Because remember the original, the message is telling everybody the temple's okay, come back, the war's over, and that's how they're trying to kill them all.
Right.
So they changed to stay away.
I don't know. It's fascinating because we're finally gonna get that gap in between what happened after Order 66 and what Kenobi did, and just kind of like what does he really stay close to Luke? How much does he really watch him? And that understanding of that whole character growing.
Does Luke meet? Does Luke meet Jar Jar?
I sure hope so.
Little 8-year-old Luke with bearded Jar Jar Binks sitting on his lap like Santa Claus or something.
They're out in the farm together when they're
make me laugh, Jar Jar, you clown. Anything else about the game here? Lightsaber color? What was the color that you chose here?
Mine was the purple, but it was a little lighter than Mace's. In his Revenge of the Sith, but
I think yours was the actual purple one. I thought mine, yeah, I think
the lighter one then.
Mine like was pink. No, they do have pinkish. They have purple, and then I chose indigo, which is a bluish purple, which is closer to Mace's, I think. But yours was the one I think that's just strictly
darker, I think.
In the thing. So I chose indigo. And then I played a mission with that and switched to yellow. And then was going to switch to cyan, but I didn't realize I'd had to do that before I went to the Inquisitor place. Once I pretty much got back on the ship and told them I want to go to Nur, it locked me in where I couldn't ever get to a workbench again.
Right.
Which was kind of disappointing because I really like that cyan color. It's kind of closer to what Luke's looks like in... A New Hope, which is really nice blue as well. So I was kind of hoping to be able to change that. But
so when you put on the yellow, were you beaming yourself Palpatine, or were you?
Yeah, I was Cal Palpatine.
Yeah, Cal Palpatine. That's what they did. Cal
Skywalker, actually.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot she ditches the last name.
Yeah, you don't want to be part of that family. Remember the guy that killed everybody and became emperor? Yeah, I'm his granddaughter.
Yeah, and you know what? The guy that I was in love with, you know who his granddaddy was? Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Kind of messed up.
He was himself. He was kind of kind of have a thing for the dark side, you know?
Yeah. We might have a kid that lives 400 years in the past, but
yeah, you know,
we have a baby Yoda together.
Our kid is probably going to end up being a bad guy as well. So
Yeah. There's no chance that Rey's kid's not bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be an ever-ending cycle. Just get rid of. They really should have one that just ends the Jedi Order. Just kill them all.
You know, you know, the government's like, we're just going to make them illegal because at this point they're causing more problems than they're solving right now. And then when they do fight the bad guy, they end up kissing him and falling in love. So I think we might want to just get rid of that.
Right, and torturing them, and at one wrong turn, they turn evil.
So yeah.
They're really a threat to the galaxy, rather.
Yeah, now I know why Palpatine was trying to get rid of them. He's like, they're just not really helping out a lot.
Yeah, they say they're all good. They all return from the dark side. But we know, deep down, they kill 86 children.
Hey, think about it this way. Count Dooku turned to the dark side, right?
Yeah.
He was a Jedi Knight that was high esteem, you know? Mm-hmm. Mace and Yoda, I think, talked very highly of him in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
Saying that he's not a Sith, you know, because at that point they don't know he's a Sith. They just say that he's a Count, and he left the Jedi Order to be a Count. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's a good guy. He's just kind of, you know, not understanding it all right now. And then you have Anakin turn to the dark side. There is a storyline in The Dark Disciple, which is a book where... what's his name? Quinlan Vos turns to the dark side and then turns back to the light. He turned to the dark side to go undercover and then found himself to be enjoying it, I guess. And then there's, you know, this guy, Taron Malakos. Yeah. There's Trilla.
Yeah.
There's Seer, who says she uses the dark side and has to cut herself off from the Force to not even be able to use it because it's too tempting. There's a Jar Jar Binks.
the reboot of fucking Obi. He's gonna kill everybody.
Who else was a Jedi that turned to the dark side? Ben Solo.
Darth Plagueis wasn't he?
Yeah, Darth Plagueis. I don't know if he was a Jedi at that part.
We don't know much about him.
No, he's not. There was a whole book about him, but that's no longer canon. So
yeah.
We don't really know much about him at this point. But, I mean, I'm really excited for the future of Star Wars gaming. This really hit the spot.
I just wanted to, throw this out there. How cool would it be if this all comes to fruition like it says it's going to? How cool would it be to start our new understanding of what Star Wars is by revealing it ourselves through a video game? Like, you start this video game, and this is what the first, you know, taste of the new Star Wars is.
That'd be cool.
That'd be so cool.
That'd be cool. I'd be down for it. Especially if it's only 2 years away, or no, a year away. 2021 is when that new game's supposed to come out. Supposedly, that's true. I guess I have reason to doubt it, but I don't really. With the hints that we've saw about the High Republic already.
Mm-hmm.
And later this month, we're supposed to get supposedly some sort of confirmation on who's directing that next movie. Whether it's actually announced or Kathleen actually just decides then. I feel like they have to already be in talks with people. I think it's going to be somebody unexpected. I don't think it's going to be anybody that's maybe touched Star Wars yet. I think if Kenobi wasn't filming soon, I could see Deborah Chow, just for how well she did on Mandalorian. Rick Famuyiwa, I would be okay with him directing this. He did.
Who did Doctor Strange?
Scott Derrickson. He actually just left Doctor Strange too. He's no longer doing that.
Really? I like Doctor Strange.
Yeah, he Creative Differences. That was announced yesterday. He's stepping away, and they start filming in May.
Hey,
well,
he's free, so.
Yeah, now he's free. He's going to go to the other company that Disney owns.
Right, yeah. You betray me, I'm going to go to Star Wars.
Right. But yeah, so I think the future's bright. And what better time to start a podcast than right before this brand new era where we're going to probably get a lot of cool stuff.
Right. And I've marked Star Wars Celebration on my calendar already in August.
So, yeah, we're going to get probably a lot. We might get our first look at this game if it comes out next year. And we probably get official. I think they're going to reveal Project Luminous before that, but I think we will get more of a
behind it.
Almost like a timeline. Like, like, you know, this January, this comic series will launch, and in February, the game will launch, the, you know, this book will launch in March. You know, they can really stretch it and become almost a whole year thing or right. So, I think the comics are not always going to be taking place in that spot. I'm assuming what they will do, because you don't want to limit their choices for the movies. So what they'll probably do is, imagine the new series follows these Jedi, right, that they're talking about. I think maybe some of the comics will take place right before those events kick off in the movies and stuff, because I feel like you can kind of explore the past without getting in the way of, oh, well, between this movie and this movie, this story happened. You can just be like, well, before these movies even happened, this thing happened, and it lets them kind of play around with the movies a little bit more.
Right.
But interesting. I mean, I don't want it to become too much like superheroes, where each one, like, I have the ability of flight, and I have the ability of super strength, but I think if they do stuff like Force Echo or Sense Echo type stuff, I feel like that would be better.
Right. Or finding different people that are part of the Force and what some kind of big story that's going on that they've kind of shattered. Because isn't that what the Eternals are? I mean, aren't the Eternals going to be, like, in Marvel, are they going to be separated to start with? Or are they, you know, kind of like Guardians was?
So what happens in Eternals is they've been around for like 10,000 years or whatever, thousands of years. What happens to them is at one point in one of the runs of the comic, they lose, somebody steals their memory or something, and they're living in like today's world, and they're trying to remember who they were or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the basis of the movie. So you're probably going to get some stuff from 1,000 years ago before it happened, kind of sprinkled in, like Captain Marvel, where you kind of learn other stuff from her past. But I think the main meat of the storyline will take place now, with these people forgetting that they are Eternals and just kind of going about their day, and then awaking in them that maybe pushes them to rediscover themselves again.
That'd be interesting. Because I just think, like, I'm trying to think of, and that's what's crazy about Star Wars. I mean, because there's just not really as much as far as the cinematic unit, like, there's just not a lot out there, because we've had the Skywalker
show. Only 10 movies.
Yeah, so like you could really just go any direction. Yeah. And just go any direction you really want.
Yeah, there's what, 9 saga films?
9 saga and 2 spinoffs,
And then you have The Mandalorian. That's it when it comes to live action stuff. So you're right. It's really going to be an expanse, kind of like how the Jedi are supposedly, you know, expanding and checking out the unknown regions. It kind of feels like that's what we're going to be going through here, where, you know, it's going to be a period of expansion in Star Wars lore, with brand new movies and characters that are so far removed from the Empire and clone troopers, which is what I asked for. So this is something that I think is going to be really interesting and exactly what I wanted going forward.
I just hope they all have Star Destroyer tech. That's important.
Yeah, they all need that Death Star tech before the Death Star was created. Yeah.
They all need it. It's very important. You've said it before.
Yeah.
It's essential.
It'll be in like, but this time it'll be in something even smaller. It'll be lightsaber with Death Star tech.
An AT-AT with it in it.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Oh, geez. Yeah, any other thoughts on Fallen Order before we get out of here?
Great game. Get it. If you haven't played it, play it. It's a great build off of the stories that we've really just grown to love. So that's
one
my
thing,
advice.
Oh, one thing before we go that I didn't know, really. All of these parts that you can use to build your lightsaber can be found in Galaxy's Edge when you're building your $200 lightsaber.
No way.
Yes. They said you can build your lightsaber at Galaxy's Edge and then go in the game and make a replica of it.
No way. I did not know that.
Yes, so
cool.
Look out world, when I get my chance to build a lightsaber, it's going to be what I played with.
Good lord.
I sometimes changed what my material it was made out of as well. Like, when I was on Dathomir, I used a red-like material with a yellow blade or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I want the red because it feels like Dathomir's very red, you know? So I was like, oh, I use the hilt of my lightsaber will be a different color, when I'm doing different things.
Right.
So that was cool. And actually, that was when I was wearing, when I had purple. I had purple and then I had the red handle.
That's cool. I did not know that. I'm interested. Now I want to do the lightsaber thing.
Yeah, I just read it on like StarWars.com. They did a whole article about little like stuff that you can find in the game, and that was one of the references. You can apparently build your lightsaber from Galaxy's Edge. And one of the meals that Grease talks about is something from Galaxy's Edge, the Yip-Nip meal. Is something in Galaxy's Edge that you can use. So there you go.
Nice.
All right, and that wraps us up here at Press Start. If you want to follow us, you can reach us on Twitter at Press Start VG Pod, Facebook.com/Press Start VG Pod, Instagram us at Press Start VG Pod, or email us at, you guessed it, Press Start VG Pod. You can rate us on the iTunes Store. It helps people find us. That is everything. If you want to reach us, those were the handles. And on behalf of Logan Stump, I am Jordan Wiegand, and this was Press Start with Logan and Jordan. See you next time.